know, I brag once in a while that during the many years we've been on the air since the 17th day of July, 1924, I've only had to miss about 11 broadcasts on account of throat trouble. But it comes once in a while, and we are reminded of the fact that we have bodies of humiliation. We who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You know, already we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then these bodies of humiliation will be fashioned like unto his body of glory. Now that's called in the Bible the blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank God that in the meantime, we are sealed unto that day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, we want to thank God for the radio friends and the radio letters that come in. Thank God for the privilege that we have of proclaiming the glorious gospel of the grace of God. We've taken a stand with the Apostle Paul to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And again, we absolutely refuse to pervert the gospel, the grace of God, taking anything away from it or adding anything thereunto. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. Now that can be legalism or ritualism, some ordinance or ceremony, anything with which man tries to make the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God more efficacious and effective. We can trust and rest in the perfect, finished work of the perfect Christ. He cried, it is finished. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and by his own blood he entered once into heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The night, sometime after midnight, unable to sleep, I was thinking that wonderful verse. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The Lord of glory was crucified. They killed the Prince of Life. The Son of God, who came down from heaven, went to Calvary as the foreordained, predestinated Lamb of God to bear away the sin of the world. And as John said, we testify that he is the Savior of the world. But Paul says, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to thank God that he's my Savior. By the grace of God, I'm going to glory, not because I'm worthy or anything that I've ever done, but because of God-given faith in God's given Son, the beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He appeared once in the end of the ages and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I want to call your attention to that wonderful verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Though Jesus Christ knew no sin, he was made sin. God permitted him to be made sin, and he was willing. When he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it is finished. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus Christ is the believer's righteousness. But I want you to think of that, the righteousness of God in Christ. I want to thank God for the cooperation and fellowship of our radio friends, and we want to announce at this time, before we take up this study of the Word, that we are making a very special offer. We are now offering, we're moving a number of our books, and we have selected 15 for consecutive helpful Bible study. These 15 books that retail from 20 to 40 cents, about $4 worth of books, we are selling now at this time this special offer of 15 for $1. So if you want to take advantage of this offer, write to Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. Tell others of the offer, and when you get the books, will you pass them on to others? So don't forget this offer. Now, our subject, the thought is this. What is the difference between righteousness and the righteousness of the law? We read in Romans 8 that by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Christian, in the fourth verse, we're told, is enabled to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law. Now, if you've ever read the Sermon on the Mount, especially the Beatitudes, you'll find in those Beatitudes something of the righteousness of the law. And you'll find that the Apostle Paul, in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, wrote concerning the fruit of the Spirit, love and meekness and long-suffering and joy and peace and so forth. Now, in studying the fruit of the Spirit, you'll find that there you also have the righteousness of the law, or the essence of the law, the end of the law, the purpose of the law. Under the law, God says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now we read that love is the fulfilling of the law, and love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Then we read that in Timothy that the end of the commandment is love. In other words, the design and purpose of the law was to make people love God. But what the law could not do, because of the weakness of humanity, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to do. Now, Jesus Christ perfectly kept God's perfect law. He loved the Lord God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his neighbors himself. But if you and I had to get to heaven by walking in the footsteps of Christ and just taking him simply as an example, if we had to be as righteous and as perfect as Christ in order to get to heaven, we wouldn't get within a billion miles of heaven. You might as well tell an incandescent light to shine like the midday August sun as to tell any child of Adam to behave like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ was not born within the natural law of procreation. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And as Paul said, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. It is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, in keeping the perfect law, you have to be perfect, because the law demanded a sinless life. But we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, but the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived without sin. He had no earthly father, and he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Now, when he died on the cross, Jesus Christ was made what he was not. He was made sin. Now, remember 2 Corinthians 5:21, that when he died on the cross and was made sin, he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in him. Let me read the fourth chapter of Romans, two verses. The fourth and the fifth verse. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now think of that. There are people who try to work. God does say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When? That is after you've been saved. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Now God doesn't work in the life of an unbeliever. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The very moment you come by faith to Calvary and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God declares that you're righteous. Now, you do not have to do one single thing to prove to God that you're righteous. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, if you're righteous, God made you righteous, and God is omniscient. He knows everything, and he knows just exactly where you stand before him. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, we read just what we read here, that the good deeds of an unrighteous or an unsaved or an unregenerated man displease God. You can't be saved by doing anything. You can do your very best, but That'll never save you. Your very best will just simply fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and he perfectly kept the perfect law, and then he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to God. And then God raised him from the dead, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he says, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now Israel made a great mistake, going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness which God established. God established righteousness at Calvary. Jesus Christ there offered himself without spot unto God and provided that which God demands. In the Old Testament, God demanded righteousness. Now God demands righteousness. But he not only demands it, he provides it. That which God demands you may have as the free gift of God, righteousness, eternal life, salvation, regeneration, divine sonship, all of these with the Holy Spirit, the free gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If there isn't any other way to receive righteousness, nor the way to become a child of God, there isn't any other way to get to heaven except by faith in the crucified, resurrected, and glorified Christ. Now notice the next verse, Romans 4:5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, don't you think God wants a person to work for him? Yes. If you're a Christian, God wants you to work from the 1st of January to the last of December and give every ounce of strength and every moment of your time that you possibly can. But everything must be done to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in the 3rd chapter of Colossians. And we must build on the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And God will reward us for every little thing and every big thing and everything we do to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ on the principle that the love of Christ constraineth us. But all the good deeds that you've ever done or ever will do or I've ever done or ever will have not one single thing to do with getting into heaven. I'm going to heaven because of God-given faith in a man who died on that middle cross 1,900 years ago and was made sin that I might be made the righteous of God in him. As I told you, next month, November, will be my golden anniversary. That is 50 years ago in November, when that comes, if I'm here, 50 years ago in November, shall have been saved 50 years, and the night I was saved, I received the righteousness of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 10 billion years from today, when I'm in heaven, I'll not be one more and one whit more righteous than I was the night I was saved, as far as my standing before God is concerned. Now then, as we walk in the Spirit, we're told, we fulfill the righteousness of the law. And certainly God wants every Christian to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and so forth. For remember, as we've said, Christianity is life, love, and heaven. We receive life at the cross, for life begins at Calvary. Then we're to manifest the proof that we are saved, because God says, hereby we know that we pass from death unto life because we love. And if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ and others, then God says that let him be anathema, maranatha. And then we're on the way to glory. So remember that righteousness of the law is one thing and righteousness is another. Now, this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011, Winston-Salem, Chicago.